FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It is July 19th, 2017. Can't believe that half the year has flown by. It seems like just the other day we were popping the champagne and toasting, rolling in the new year. Here we are, half gone. But hopefully it's been a great year for you so far. Person you're about to hear from can make your year even better. Somebody I've met at a number of conferences. Oh, and before I forget, because I will forget, email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. You know the Twitter feed's at Kerry Lutz. You know that the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. I probably shouldn't even bother repeating it anymore. Anyway, this person really has been crushing it both as a podcaster and in the real estate space, helping others to make money as well. His name is Tyler Scheff. You find him at cashflowguys.com. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kerry. Glad to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. And interestingly enough, you know, there's a lot of real estate podcasts out there. There's a zillion people doing real estate. As you've told me, the industry really hasn't changed in the past 50 years. You're still doing the same things. You're just using technology to make you more effective to do them. How did you get into real estate?
Well, for me, it was I was looking for a way to reduce my taxes. I mean, that's the second go around. I call it the second act.
Yeah.
I've actually been in the game twice. Mm-hmm. The first time I thought I was just going to get rich flipping houses. And that was all fine and dandy. But one thing I left out of that equation, Kerry, is that I didn't allow for the tax bill that comes with that.
Right.
So for me, I didn't get hurt by the crash. Instead, I got hurt by myself because I had to wound up with a very large tax bill to the IRS and got a very important life lesson from them.
Yeah, well, you can get them for sure. And what you're describing is that when you flip houses, when you're doing renos and you don't hold them for at least a year, it's ordinary income and you're going to. And when you get a big hit, you get a big win on a property, make $100,000. Well, hey, guess what? Uncle Sam is there with his hand out. He didn't have anything to do with you producing that income, with the work that went into it, the blood, sweat, and tears, but he's out there with his hand. And if you don't pay him, he's going to come after you with a vast array and arsenal of collection techniques. And that's the last thing you want. Whereas if you are a real estate investor and you can make yourself qualify as a real estate professional, hey, there's all sorts of glorious tax benefits there. So you got the education firsthand, Tyler, that it's better to invest than it is to work, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, from there, it was like, well, I got to change the way I'm doing things. I actually got out of the business after I sold all my portfolio of flips right before the crash, about 2004.
Good timing.
Got the bill from the IRS and then thought to myself, well, I took a couple of years to pay that bill off because that was more money than you can imagine. Realized that we got to get into tax mitigation. That needs to be the strategy here. And that's when, like you said, I discovered the buy and hold strategy and I stuck with buy and hold. But I decided this go around, I needed to scale because now I'm much older. You know, at the time I was flipping houses, I was in my 20s and I'm now in my 40s and I needed to scale my business because I needed to escape the rat race.
Right.
Now for me, you know, I worked for the federal government. I was making a ridiculous six-figure paycheck working for the government in a big cushy job. I thought, well, you know, that's great. I got this six-figure paycheck, but I also got a tax bill that would make most people choke. I was paying more in taxes than a lot of people make in a year, which was a real problem. So again, now I've got the W-2 job, right? And I got a regular paycheck. I'm out of real estate because it taxed me to death. I get into the great W-2 job. I get taxed again. Now I finally, it hits me. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I know that's cliche, but it is what it is. I read the book and it was real simple. Listen, guy, buy these properties. Just hang on to them. Like you said, take your passive income losses, take long-term depreciation, take advantage of all the tax incentives that are there for those that provide clean, safe, affordable housing. And that's where the game changed for me.
Right. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I mean, I had unconsciously been doing all that stuff in my life before, but it was an eye-opener and really talks about good debt and bad debt, right? And bad debt is any debt that you take on that doesn't bring cash flow in. But good debt is debt that enables you to acquire an asset that will bring in cash flow, pay off that debt, and leave you money on top of it and save you taxes to boot. I mean, that's kind of the best of all possible worlds.
Absolutely.
So what was your best acquisition to date since you started?
I got to say, you know, it's ruined me, Kerry, but it's my fourplex. The first fourplex I bought was this little 4-unit building. I still live there today. And I overanalyzed that thing to death. I'll admit it. That was an analysis paralysis like there's no tomorrow. But that thing is just a cash cow. I have not been able to duplicate that deal since.
Really?
It just spins off a ridiculous amount of cash flow every month. What we've done is we've taken a couple of the units and converted them to vacation rentals.
Ah, okay.
And, you know, the performance, it's in the right neighborhood. It's in the right area. You know, I'm literally walking distance to a Starbucks. I mean, it's just, it checks all the boxes. I would, if I could buy 20 more of them, I would tomorrow.
And you weren't really out there looking for this. It just kind of developed.
Admittedly, short story goes, my wife and I were renting a duplex right on the ocean. Loved it. A little place. We were paying, you know, I think it was $900 a month rent at the time. Mm-hmm. And we were under contract to buy it from the owner. And it's right on the Gulf of Mexico. And we'd struck a deal for $250,000 to buy this duplex. Now, didn't have much investment value from the context of if we ever moved out, we'd get nuked in flood insurance. But it was our forever house. You know, a little duplex. We're going to rent one side as a vacation rental, live on the other side. It's all great. Well, that guy decided that he didn't want to hold up to his end of the bargain, so he sold it out from under us, even though we were under contract with him.
Ooh, that's
yeah.
Not nice.
We were supposed to be going to a closing. I flew home from Rhode Island. I was working for the government at the time. I flew all the way back to Florida to close. I thought I was walking into a closing. I was walking into a room with his attorney and an eviction notice. A
firing squad.
Yeah. So in a scramble, my wife and I are like, oh God, you know, we got to get another place. I'm already approved for my mortgage. We're through underwriting the whole nine yards. I got to do something. So we went out and started looking for a property, and we looked at a 3-2 house, and we're going to do the house hack thing. You buy it, live in it for a year, and then rent it out to somebody else. That's how we're going to launch our portfolio. And instead, that didn't work out. We're driving back from looking at that 3-2 house. We come across this little fourplex, and I remember it was pumpkin orange, Kerry, with brown trim.
Oh,
it was obnoxious.
God. Oh, my God. Well, that had to knock off $20,000 in value right there.
Exactly. Exactly. And it was listed. The listing agent was also the owner. So we've got somebody who has all the answers already, the smartest person in the room. So we were able to put that deal together. We got a really good deal for it to get that deal together. And I wound up, Kerry, buying that with none of my own money. I was able to structure the deal where I actually walked out of closing with a check made out to me.
Really?
After I had rent credits and whatnot. And I had credits from the title company and the lender and the realtors. And it worked out to just to be a home run deal that, like I said, I have never been able to duplicate it since. But boy, it was a game changer. That one deal was a game changer.
Yeah, you think there'd be a law against that.
Right?
That's great. That's a great story. And it's instructive, too, because basically, well, the market might have changed. Prices might be higher. Deals like that are out there, aren't they?
They absolutely are.
Yeah. So income producing property. And you think you'll ever sell that, or is this just your retirement plan?
I don't think I'll ever sell it. I mean, I don't really have a compelling need to sell it. If it's not broken, don't fix it. And that's where I differ as an investor. A lot of people, they buy assets, they hang on to them for 5 years. They, you know, play with them like a shiny toy. And when the shine runs off of it, they just throw it away. And I have a different perspective. I believe in, I'll acquire the asset. I shine it up real nice. And then I keep it shiny. For me, that's important. Pride of ownership, providing the right scenario for the tenants. In other words, I have a different view about tenants than most landlords do.
Yeah.
They're my clients. They're my customers.
Right.
That results in no vacancy loss. I've had zero vacancy loss in this property. And I have some other properties in state, not a state, that do have vacancy. Although admittedly, I do have management on those, and we're working through some issues with those. But our vacancy is very minimum on the other properties as well. So a lot of that is we're focused on the tenant.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a solid approach because, like you say, they are your clients effectively. And yes, you could probably always find another tenant. But for every month that the property sits vacant, you're losing money. And you know, you would have to charge such a higher rent to try to make that up that it's just easier to retain your tenants, maybe not be as aggressive as you could be with the rent increases. If it's a good tenant, hey, just, you know, don't be greedy, get a reasonable rent. but do everything you can to keep them in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, what most of the landlords don't know is they never know why the tenant chose their place. You know, I get on realtors a lot with this, and I'm an agent as well, a licensed agent. And I ask listing agents sometimes if I've got a buyer, I said, why is the seller selling? And they can't tell me. I ask the same thing. Why does the tenant choose your place to live? And they don't have an answer for that.
That's a great point. And the answer is that they're looking for a home, right?
Well, yeah, but there should be some reason why they chose that place. And if there's not, that says that you're not necessarily, you don't have the right tenant in that place, because when something better comes along, they're going to move.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Probably so. But like when the person, a lot of times you do things, you don't know why you're doing it, right?
I mean, very true.
So how do you figure out when you're looking at a tenant that this guy is the right guy?
Well, it starts with asking that question. Why did you choose to come here? And I listen for their answer. I don't say a word until I get that answer, because I want to know what they're going to say. And I found that a good majority of the people will actually tell you why they chose your place. Well, I chose it because it's clean, it's well kept. So now I know that person sees the value in my property.
Yeah.
And when they see the value in my property, they're also going to see the lack of value in everybody else's property that would be considered quote unquote competition for my property. So that tenant for me, that says diminished vacancy loss, that I'm not going to have as much vacancy with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk to them about, we don't like surprises. I'm right to the point with folks.
Right. Hey, you know? So you're basically giving them a place that you would live in yourself, right?
Absolutely.
So they sense the values, your values in the property, and they understand your expectations of them to maintain the property as well.
Absolutely. Right. And here's what I've realized, you know, Gary, is that most people, I can never assume what somebody wants. I don't know what type of home you would like to live in. I don't know what color you'd like your couch, and I don't know what kind of view you want out of the backyard. But what I do know is that if I ask you those questions and I continue asking you those questions, that eventually I can get the answers from you. And then if I know what you're thinking, I can provide it to you.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Well, you know, I went to, it's interesting because I actually sold my existing home. I'm renting a home be closer to a relative who's not in the best physical condition. And so I didn't want to buy a place down there because I didn't know if I was going to like the area or not. Renting seemed to make the most sense. And I looked at a number of houses, and because I am a licensed realtor, it's easier for me to do it. I've got the lockbox, unlocker, fob, right, and all that, and I could just go there. And I hadn't really, I bought a house a number of years ago, but when you're renting, it's different than buying. And so first I had to assign numerical values, being a little bit rational, from 1 to 10. First was area, okay, the location. And that got anywhere from 1 to 10. Then it was the quality, aesthetic quality of the house.
Right.
And then it was the features I was looking for. And I weighted them all equally, but location was crucial. But I just gave them all the same weighting, 1 to 10 for each. And from that, you know, like, you don't need to overanalyze it. You say, well, you know, it's got like the right number of rooms. The finishes are great. Maybe it doesn't have granite. It's got Corian. So we'll take off half for that. So it's an 8.5. And then, you know, for location, it's a 9. And I kind of measured up all these properties against one another. But I realized that that's not the way that it usually works when people are going out renting homes. It's a lot different. There's time constraints. That was also one for me. But assuming the time constraints were met, there's just so many factors that go into these decisions. I don't have kids now. My kids are grown. I didn't have to worry about that. But a lot of factors go into that decision. And it's important that you become, if you're looking for a property, you become as conscious as you can possibly become of the important factors.
Absolutely.
So, hey, so, you know, you got the podcast going and that's helping your underlying business. What do you see happening in the future for you, Tyler?
We just, I just took on some partners and we're getting ready to do start a fund, blind pool syndication, where we're gearing up for a market downturn.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to necessarily time the market, so to speak, but now we're actively seeking investors and to kind of take our business to the next level. We're going to be looking at mobile home parks and multifamily housing and a little bit of short-term vacation rental type assets. that we're focused on right now in the future.
All right. Well, that's good. So you're always on to something new, new horizons, new goals, keeps you young, keeps you fresh. And if people want to find out more about you, Tyler, want to connect with you on the web, where do they go?
The best place to find everything about me and us and the team and what we're doing is cashflowguys.com. It's cashflowguys.com. You can have access to my YouTube channel there, and you can also go to cashflowguystv.com, and that takes you to our YouTube channel where we just started ramping up YouTube and putting all kinds of content out there and the kind of day in the life stuff and everything that we're doing, and we're documenting it now, and so it all lives there on the website.
Wow, that's really exciting. Hey, Tyler, thanks so much for coming on the show and talking about what you do, giving us ideas. It's really a pleasure having you. Again, if you got a question for Tyler or myself, email us at kl@carrylutz.com, kl@carrylutz.com. And like I said, Twitter feed at Carrie Lutz. The Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Tyler, good luck, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Carrie. I appreciate it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.